Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey there. How you doing, Randy?
Aloha. Aloha, amigo.
Aloha, aloha. Hey, what's it like in Chico today?
Yeah, it's raining and cloudy, and I don't want to hear it because it's probably beautiful in
Hawaii. It's still warm, though. It's not cold. Is it cold?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay. Well,
how's it going in Hawaii?
It's nice. It's nice. The weather's beautiful. Yeah, absolutely
of course.
Beautiful. Of course. I heard it is snowing in a couple. I'm like in the East Coast and different places. And yeah. Well, I'm not complaining. No complaints.
No.
You can hear the
no.
birds chirping and the trees are beautiful. It's no complaints whatsoever. Yeah.
So. To your credit.
Right. Oh.
To your credit, you don't like taunt everybody on the mainland by posting pictures of sunsets. You know, like a lot of my friends on Maui do.
It's very mean, isn't it?
That's mean.
It is mean because people tell me they're going, I can't wait to get to Hawaii and I'm going to do this and do that. And I'm like, really? Okay. But people do. They do. They love to antagonize everybody.
Yeah.
And then and that's why everybody thinks when you live here you don't work at all, that you just play and, things like
fantasy.
That.
Yeah,
you know it's I know, and it's just not that. That's not true. So
I called out a friend of mine who just every like 3-4 times a day she's posting, pictures of Hawaii and all this fantasy about how beautiful it is to live here, which it is. But I happen to know, like everybody else, living wherever you live, you have issues and you have stuff and you got to make a living and you. All the stuff we talk about on this show, right?
We bring our stuff with us.
Yeah, so wherever you go, there you are.
You carry that baggage with you wherever you go.
Yeah. So I happen to know that these folks who post all these pictures on Facebook about how lovely – Facebook is kind of a fantasy thing. It's kind of an image management thing that we all –
Do you think that's what it is? Because I don't have mine live where you can't see like remarks and I don't go post every half an hour, but there's actually people out there that literally their whole life all day they're posting what they're doing on Facebook and I'm like why would anybody do this?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make sense to me. I can see posting a trip or something really but it's happening and it's amazing to me, but no.
Yeah. It's too much. Too much.
But I find it there actually are people out there when it comes to the winter and the snow that love it, absolutely love the cold weather, that some people hate the warm weather, So I think it's just, but home is where the heart is, as I always say, and it's
you
all
betcha.
Good everywhere. And it's just, but I'm not complaining right now. The wintertime is not my cup of tea, but for some people, they love it. So that's, have the fireplace going and the hot chocolate and, there's things and the smell of... I do miss the smell of the burning wood in a fireplace. I love that smell. Which you have people do that here too and on the Big Island maybe, but not much. It's not common in the warmer areas, So, but it's all good. And there is something to be said about the sunshine, though. It does brighten your day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's sunshine in that snow too. So
there is. There
is. Hey, we're going to, today on the first half, we're actually talking about bitcoins. And you know, can you buy and sell real estate with Bitcoins? And also there's been a lot of controversy going on in Bitcoin. So I just thought for our listeners out there that haven't really heard about them, not you, you know, many people have and many haven't, that it'd be nice to just discuss it today. And if you're listening in, we get a lot of archive listeners that will be listening later, but if you're listening live today, you can call us. Please call us, especially if you have any stories regarding Bitcoins, at 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. We would love to hear your story because it's amazing what's going on with this stuff. And we'll get into that a little bit more.
I'm curious
and
to hear
about
it. And
then what are we doing
really
on the second half?
Second half, we have with us Stacey Moniz. She is the executive director for Women Helping Women in Maui. And she's worked in the field of domestic violence for over 27 years. So her passion is for women's empowerment. And she's holding a huge meeting on Monday night in Kihei on Maui because, as you've seen on the news, there's two women who've been missing on Maui in the last couple of months. They've been gone, and police are not able – there's really just very little being said about it.
One woman's pregnant, right? Or did they find her? No.
No, she's – no, they've not found either of them.
Okay.
There's two women that have gone missing on Maui in the last, like, 3 months. And, you know, the whole island is in an uproar because, you know, I mean, because there's just the sense that the Maui Police Department's really kind of incapable of – since there's not a whole lot of really, frankly, missing persons and murder investigations on Maui –
or in Hawaii at all. I think Randy's going to come right back. We must have lost Randy for a second. Let's see what's happening here. I'm going to call right back in. Randy's discussing right now, he's calling about our second guest, Stacey Moniz, who's going to come on that runs and works with domestic violence. And he will be right back, I believe. We'll start up into our second half. Let's see if we can get in here. We'll start up in the first half, and we'll just keep rolling here. Let's see what's going on.
Hello?
Are you on, Randy?
I'm on. Are you?
Oh, you couldn't hear me?
No. But
because I – can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, because I heard you were talking about Stacey Moniz, and then I lost you, so I started talking about her a little bit and then was waiting, and I was going to just go ahead and start on the Bitcoins. So I think we're – there's a question mark next to mine in the studio. I don't know. We'll have to bleep this out when you do the product, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know why it has a question. You can hear me fine now, right?
I can hear you now.
Question mark next to my in the studio next to my thing. Okay, so Stacey Moniz, what were you talking about? The two women missing, and we're going to go rolling into the Bitcoins. What is she doing on Monday night in regards to this?
There's a big meeting for women just to come, and they're inviting all women to come and learn, you know, how to protect yourself. So it's kind of Stacey and Women Helping Women kind of stepping in for this teaching moment.
Wow.
So, yeah,
wow.
It'd be kind of cool.
I'm going to hang up and call right back in really fast because I know you'll bleep this out, right? But I'm going to call back in really fast just to make sure because there's a question mark next to me in the studio. So I want to – I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, I'll continue talking about Stacey and what she's doing again on Maui. Just she literally – and, again, we'll be talking to her in about 20 minutes. But she's been in the field of domestic violence for over 27 years. You know, after her own experiences as a battered woman, and so she's been helping ever since, you know, children and women, you know, in that arena, if you will. So it's exciting.
Wonderful.
It's going to be good stuff. Yeah, really
fantastic.
Good stuff.
The question mark's still in there, but I'm going to leave that out. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, we're looking forward to hearing her second half, and we pray that these two women are found. There's been some very odd stories around their disappearances. Hopefully this isn't. Hopefully these are isolated cases and they're not related. And we do. We just have to always, it's just, I'm sure she's going to go over quite a lot of beware and what we can do to protect ourselves. So on the Bitcoins, for those of you listening that do not know what Bitcoins are, it's a digital currency that was actually started in 2009 by a person using an alias, internet name Satoshi Nakamoto. It's a payment system that uses digital currency, and they call it cryptocurrency. It's not backed by the government or any central bank. Now, since 2009, and you know how we all get all these email blasts and et cetera, I've actually received email blasts from reputable companies that I'm on their newsletter sites for money and market, you know, money and investing, that actually talk about moving forward with Bitcoins. And when they talk about the history, I've actually seen and read where they talk about history going all the way back to the Thomas Edison era, that these were things thought about doing way back when. But this is that's the part that is our internet, you know, what is real, what's not real. And so I think because here you have a reputable source telling you this, and I'm going, wait a minute, that doesn't make total sense. But so you really have to be buyer beware, check out everything, because even the reputable people telling you these things, and could be us too, you know, we're checking out sources, we're getting information, and, you know, you have to really beware, because, like I said, I'm not going to mention the newsletter companies that are reputable that have actually pushed the Bitcoins and told the history as not just starting in 2009, that it went all the way back to Thomas Edison era. So,
wow.
Which wouldn't make complete sense, because this is digital currency, so of course we didn't have the internet and digital currency then, but it was the premise. You know, I think that's we have to be careful how we're reading it, because I think it's probably the premise of, you know, let's do a currency that has nothing to do with the government, and, you know, nothing's backed with, which of course we've had, I mean, trading for, you know, thousands of years. So, with this, today we're saying, can you buy or sell a house with Bitcoins? And the answer is yes, but you have to have a willing seller, you know, and then you have to be able to buy the Bitcoin, have the Bitcoins. I would personally rather be on the selling. If I was going to, you know, you want to be on the buying side if you're buying a house with the Bitcoins, because at least you may not lose. If you're a seller and then you can't turn in your Bitcoins, you may have a problem, right? If you're a seller and you're trying to sell your house with Bitcoins, then you typically, the sellers that are trying to sell do not have any loans on their houses, because the mortgage companies are not going to accept Bitcoins. You're going to have to pay the loan off in cash. So, interesting though, it's really beneficial to learn what you can about Bitcoins. Personally, I think I would only invest a very little bit of money, because there's just so much controversy, but some people say they're making millions. It's one Bitcoin right now, it went as high as $1,200. Yesterday, the site, this is, we're actually doing this show February 26, 2014. Yesterday, a huge site got taken down, MTGOX, G-O-X, disappeared. And that was one of the largest trading platforms for Bitcoin. So people are saying they may be losing millions of dollars right now. And then there's other rumors going around saying that this is going to come back under a different name, just Gox. I want to bring things in for our listeners that, you know, not everybody may be aware of, right? And something you can, you know, we always try to come in with something else, right, Landy, to just to get in and make people aware of. But if you want to say, hey, take $500 and invest it, and maybe it's going to turn into something, you know, and you have $500 to throw away, it may not be a bad deal. I think it's pretty interesting to me, and it's a topic, it's something that should be looked into, because Virgin Galactic, which is owned by, you know, Richard Branson's companies, they're accepting Bitcoins. There's actually big companies out there that are accepting it. You're seeing people trade. You're even seeing some of the governments around the world getting interested in Bitcoin. So to me, there's enough out there that it's worth looking at and checking into it and seeing which way it's going to go. Now, anytime you have the good guys, you have the bad guys, and there's also been cases of massive drug dealings going on with bitcoins, and people being busted, et cetera, and you know, in millions and millions of dollars types of dealings. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing because you and I we're used to trading with the dollar, right, and using. And then we've got different forms of currency out there, and everybody knows the dollar is just going down to nothing, right? So why not look into something like this? And you can Google on the Internet. We're not going to go into – I saw there's actually houses for sale in Australia, Canada, U.S. There's one that was done in Canada that they said they thought went for over $1 million, but it's been pulled down off the sites now. And there's no way to verify if it actually sold and closed. But people are putting it out there saying, hey, I'll consider selling my place and you can buy it with bitcoins. Very important, if you're a buyer, you want to check and see the value of the home, the true value of the home, and make sure that you're still getting a good deal no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, it's very... We've got everything out there, but it's kind of a brilliant idea, right? And I'm sure many other places are going to start.
I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it. So essentially, it's digital money. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a payment system using digital currency, and then the transaction fees are different. They call it cryptocurrency, and people use wallet software or their mobile app or a web application in order to purchase it.
I was hearing the issue that the government has with it is this has nothing to do with the Fed, right? This is separate from government-controlled money. The government
exactly.
No
it's not government-backed. There's no central bank backing it. Absolutely. Nothing.
Wow.
So how do they? What do they do about taxes on that? How does that work? You wonder. You know, like if you sell your property, you're still going to have a tax basis, and you've been listing your property on your taxes every year, right?
Yeah,
so you're still going to have to somehow figure out how is that going to work? Because basically, Bitcoins right now, it's not like a taxable money, right?
So, yeah, it's almost under the table, so to speak, in some ways. The transaction. Is not, you know, the government cannot in any way, you know, connect with this transaction. So it is kind of the wild, woolly new frontier, the wild, wild west on this Internet. Just when we thought, you know, the Internet had become kind of blasé, there's always something else that comes along.
Isn't
like,
it amazing?
Wow.
I know.
We need to do? We need to get my buddy on down from Southern California. I have a friend who is literally, I saw his the other day on LinkedIn, he actually is calling himself now vice president of some Bitcoin company. So he's been doing it for
really?
A while.
Really? Oh, I would love to do that. I would love that. Well, you know, it's when you see, I mean, it could go up, down, it can go any which way, but sometimes it's nice when the government's not involved. But there's a lot of risk. And then there's also people making money. So the people that if they get in, make the money, go buy some nice assets, and then, you know, it's kind of nice. I mean, they've made it, right? So I just but it's interesting when you look at the people and the players getting involved and what's going on with it, and it started in 2009 technically, and here, that's not that long ago. They said it went as high as 1,200, and then, for example, with what happened yesterday, it looks like it might have dropped to 130 and then went back up to $490. The average price right now was running around $636 for one Bitcoin. The interesting, I was reading, though, they said there's a company called Robocoin that's based in Las Vegas that's actually going to install, check this out, two ATMs for Bitcoin. One's going to be in Texas and one's going to be in Seattle.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
So they said they're actually going to install it for Bitcoin. One's Texas, one's Seattle, and it's going to cost $20,000 a machine, and then you can charge transaction fees for the people that use it. So I think it still warrants, you know, getting involved a little bit, you know, I mean, one of my houses through that a bit, probably not because I'd want to make sure, you know, it was paid in full, but people are doing it. I mean, and there's players getting into international currency. So, yeah, it's just something, I think it's really good to learn about as much as you can about new phases and new things coming in. Yeah, I saw something where there's something called Dodge coins or Dodge coins that may come up too, and that may be another, somebody starting something else on the internet. But if you get in and you really read about those Bitcoins, people are playing in it. It's happening. It's happening all over. It's not just something that just started for a couple months and it phased out, you know. Of course, you have to be extremely careful. I wouldn't put my life savings on it, but yeah, I'd love to see if you could get your friend on as a speaker or get your friend in and talk to us and see.
Yeah.
You know, of course, eventually the government will probably jump in and start passing some kind of laws or rules for currency exchange because, you know, they want some money off of this. But what happened yesterday I think is going to scare a lot of people with that big site coming down. If it really stays down and these people have lost millions and millions, I think that's going to, you know, could be starting death of some things, or it could be that they are, you know, making changes. It's just, I know the feds are issuing warnings, you know, in reference to it because there's risks. So, yeah, I wonder, a lot of people, I've asked people, different people around, have you heard of Bitcoins? And a lot of people haven't even heard of it.
No. Well, yeah, it's and Mike, and so let's circle back for just a minute to the question on the real estate. So, in essence, a seller would have to, like you say, there are listings where they will accept Bitcoins in payment for their house in full. Okay.
Yes, they actually, but it's up to the seller, and typically that seller probably doesn't have a mortgage, or if they have a mortgage, they have the means to pay it off themselves, because I don't know of any U.S. lenders right now. When I say lender, you know, the mortgage companies, and I don't know of any, you know, like with Freddie Mac, Fannie Mac, I don't know of any that are actually accepting Bitcoins at this point. So the person would have to be able to pay it off. But, yeah, there's actually sellers. You can Google it. There's too many for us to list all of the places, but you can Google homes for sale using Bitcoins, and they're all over. People are getting, you know, getting on the trend. You know, how, I don't know how they, work out the tax situations when they sell the home that way.
That's fascinating. I mean, that's, you know, part of us, I guess, you know, kind of like, I'll just say this, the fascination with Robin Hood, you know, taken from the rich, given to the poor, whether you think stealing's right or wrong, you know, and of course we're told to pay our taxes, you know, in the Bible and everything. So, you know, we're supposed to pay our taxes, but there's a part of us that I think admires the genius in this, you know, because the government, frankly, you know, and we've talked about this running up to the election, you know, back in presidential election, you know, the mismanagement of our tax dollars is staggering, and that can lead to a whole other conversation.
I think though, when it comes to buying and selling a house, you still have IRS tax implications. I think still do, because you had the basis of buying it and selling it, and it's going to be on your return. So I don't think you can get out of that when it comes to buying and selling real estate. But I could be wrong, because we haven't investigated enough. This is so new. You know, there may be loopholes that people are going to use as a trade. You know, when they do the, say, for example, the 1031 exchange, if it's an investment property, you can trade that, and you can sell, put in another property, and you have 180 days to do this transaction, and you avoid your taxes because you're moving it over into the other property. So, you know, there may be ways to do these things. And it's interesting, and it is kind of nice to see some other form of coming out there, right? And it's taken off. It's just brilliant to me in a way. But then, and then other people say, oh, it's scam. This is a scam. That's a scam. Well, you know, it's, I don't, it's something new.
There's a fine line.
New.
There's a fine
it's amazing,
line.
Though,
I've always said it. Yeah.
Well, there's also the situation where they've had hackers go in because like this money's like it's kind of like money, it's bitcoins, whatever, in these internet vaults, right? So
yeah.
They've actually had hackers go in and steal a bunch of it, you know. So you're always going to have it's amazing. It's almost mind-boggling, but not mind-boggling because it'll work out, you know. But again, I wouldn't put my whole life savings into it. I wouldn't run out and go and say it drops right now to a couple hundred dollars and go buy up more than somebody can afford to lose, you know. But then you want to get advice. I mean, get advice from your friends, the friends that are millionaires or billionaires, and say, hey, what do you think about it? You know, I just think that it's really interesting. And on the buying side, if you were able to get a property, say you had, you know, so much in bitcoins and you could get a property for such a better deal cash than cash, why not, right? Why not? As far as selling it, I'm amazed at these sellers that they must feel pretty good. I mean, you can Google it and they're selling it for, I'll take $1 million for my property, $2 million, you know, and they're trusting the Bitcoin, so they may not be worried about it. You know, I do see there's so much, but please learn and read about it and what you can, because it's just worth it to, you know, I know the IRS is going to definitely, I'm sure, get involved at some point, right? Because nobody's going to let everything just go, you know. But there's just an interesting, for example, here's an article, it was January 7, 2014, taxing Bitcoin. IRS review has big implications for investors in virtual currency. And, you know, so they are, you know, nobody's just going to ignore these things, but I don't think it doesn't show where anyone's doing anything wrong yet either, you know. It's kind of a,
it is a fine line.
I mean, there's certain things, assets that you have to disclose, and it says, so it's pretty, they're saying, is it a capital asset? Is it a commodity? You know, the IRS says it's studying the matter but has yet to issue any guidance. Until it does, anyone's guess is how Bitcoin should be taxed. This is off of Forbes in January 2014. So it's it says most, it's a pretty interesting. But the motivating force for IRS is to issue guidance, maybe an effort that there's a legal battle. Oh, I didn't know about this, though. To create an exchange-traded fund to use, there's a legal battle between with Mark Zuckerberg over Facebook creating an exchange-traded fund to track Bitcoin prices. And so, there's a lot of stuff going on. So, you know, a lot of players are doing this, getting involved. Mm. So I just would not – I personally – this is in January 7, 2014. I would not discount Bitcoin yet. I think it's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I don't know if you've seen that movie Wolf of Wall Street, but Monica and I went and saw it, and it's, you know, it's about that guy who, you know, basically started a kind of a borderline shady, you know, trading company where they traded like penny stocks and much. And he was talking about how, you know, how you don't lose your soul like all at once. You lose it kind of one transaction at a time. And he was talking about how, you know, he didn't come from anything that would say he would be, you know, a criminal. But you get into things, and he talked about the fine line between, you know, something that's brilliant financially and illegal. And right now, it seems like the Bitcoin thing.
I don't think it's illegal. I think it's just going to be a matter of defining it, you know?
Yeah. But I could just see the government, because they can't control it. It's happened before. And when they can't control it, they can legislate it out of existence.
You're right. I think you're exactly right. On this Forbes article, it says the distinctions are not trivial. If Bitcoin is a capital asset, and then long-term gains and losses would be subject to preferential capital gain rates. And then losses of more than 3,000 can only be used to offset other gains. So that would be a problem if all of a sudden people think they don't know anything and then they change something and they're not grandfathered in and the government comes back and says, now you owe us, you know, $500,000 for this thing you did, you know. So You're right. You're right. It's and it's a shame. They say they always say ignorance is not does not preclude you from the law, right? Which
yes.
I don't think is fair because there's a, I don't think it's fair because there's a lot of things that get changed that no way would you know, and it's kind of sad that all of a sudden you're taken back to that other place. So it's and you're guilty as charged, you know. But
mm-hmm.
it's interesting what you said makes sense. That the guy that you're talking about, they start off doing things, and before you know it, one thing leads to another
movie.
Thing. Wow.
Fascinating movie. Leo, I'm a big Leo DiCaprio fan, and, of course, he played the guy, and I saw the actual real guy on, like, Piers Morgan and talking about, you know, he ended up doing, like, a couple of years of jail time, but pretty fascinating. Although it's not a family, you know, it's definitely not a family movie. Wouldn't recommend it for the kids. Or
I wrote that down. I have to,
They broke the record for the number of F-bombs ever in a movie. 569 F-bombs. But it's a real portrayal of Wall Street and sort of the intensity, you know, and all that and the trading. And so, anyway, pretty interesting movie, but not a family movie by any means. And anyway, that's Wolf
of
Wall Street.
So, awesome. We're going to get ready to go for our second half. So anybody, you know, you callers out there and our archive listeners, please learn about Bitcoins. It's definitely worth it for you to look. I don't think they're just going to disappear overnight.
No. Well, let's do it. Let's dive in.
Beautiful new terminal, beautiful new everything. I mean, the two words that describe Abu Dhabi for the most part is beautiful new.
Okay, so
you come out of the terminal and you get on the road from the terminal.
Hang on. Okay, I just clicked on, I saw Stacy is on, you know, on the line, but opened her mic and there's talking going on,
our
so I'm not sure.
Pilot friend.
Is it one of our ads? No?
No, nothing's playing, so that's kind of wacky, kind of
wild. Stacy, are you on? Okay.
When I click on her mic.
Parallel terminal, it's just, you know.
Stacy, is there something 200
meters
playing
down the road from
the
main
background?
Terminal. So they said, yeah, we know a woman we know is a flight attendant.
Okay, Stacy has us on hold.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on there. I've got her
Stacy
on hold.
Stacy must have us on hold because she didn't pick up. She must have us on hold and didn't know that we were picking up yet.
No,
so,
she knows because I just Facebooked her.
On the phone, but I think, yeah, okay.
Let's go to a commercial, and we will try and figure this out. Stay tuned. Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere, and we'll be back right after this.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our program,
it's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like ready, fire, aim. And, you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back to Realty Universal Radio. Randy Zachary, my name, and of course, Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, on the line as well from Oahu, as they say on the news over there. Right, I'm back here on the mainland for a little bit, and I'm excited to have on the line with us in our second half here, Stacy Moniz, the executive director of Women Helping Women. She's worked in the field of domestic violence for over 27 years, and her passion and for women's empowerment has grown over the years, and her own experiences as a battered woman kind of play into that. Of course, she's been involved in many boards, and she's kind of stepping up, she is stepping up big time and kind of making this a teaching moment on the island of Maui, as in the last few months now, two women have gone missing, and there's quite an alarm among the public, and I think again, Stacy, I applaud you for stepping up in this moment where women are like concerned and scared, and now you're stepping up and literally using this as a teaching moment. So I know you have a big event we want to talk about as well, but welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let's before we circle back around, I want to get to your story and you know, and obviously why you do what you do and what Women Helping Women does. I want to get to all of that, but let's kind of set the stage with why you're having this meeting coming up. Why don't you kind of explain what's been going on Maui the last couple months?
Sure. You know, we actually have had two women, young women, go missing in our community, and it started actually at the end of last year. So there were actually three women. So at the end of last year, we had a woman missing for about a month or so, and her car turned up at the bottom of a cliff in Kahakuloa, and so she was found. But then in January, we had another young woman. Her name is Morera Mo, they call her, Monsalve, and she went missing in Wailuku. The last person to see her was her ex-boyfriend. Apparently, she had gone to his house to gather some of her things. She was, they were breaking up, and he says that he went to sleep, and when he woke up, she was gone, and she has not been seen since. And then, in February, another young woman who is actually pregnant. Her name is Charlie Scott. She's 5 months pregnant, and the last person to see her was her ex-boyfriend, who is the father of her baby. He called her in the middle of the night. He needed help. His car was broken down in a very remote place on the way to Hana on Maui, and he was the last person to see her as well.
They were broken up. Okay, I didn't realize they were broken up. I had heard the story, but I didn't know he was an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So, you know, that's part of the reason that I think Women Helping Women is getting a lot of phone calls. We are a nonprofit domestic violence agency, and so for many, many people in our community, this is definitely sounds like domestic violence, and certainly the statistics would agree that if something's happened to these women, then the a likely suspect would be their partners. And so I think another concern that has come up is if these ex-boyfriends are not responsible, then we may have a bigger problem on our hands on Maui. So whichever way, it does create a lot of concern and anxiety among not just the women in our community, but our entire community. So we've called a rally. We're going to have it on March 3rd, which is Monday. It's Girls Day, and 2014 is the International Year of the Girl, so it's all sort of tying together. And we're going to have, it's a gathering. We're going to do a skit that we do that sort of helps us set the stage for a conversation, and then have a time to process. You know, we're going to give people a chance to talk it out. That's what I think a lot of the women that are calling us, they just want to talk with other women, and it's amazing. I think they'll find that everyone's sort of voicing the same concerns and suspicions, or, you know, and so then we'll give them a few minutes to sort of talk that out, and then we want to move into solutions. What can we do as a community to address this? How can we individually and collectively take back our power, or, you know, feel more confident in our community? So some of the suggestions are self-defense courses, basic car repairs. If my car breaks down the side of the road, what should I do? And then other ways to get involved in the community, such as joining different committees, or like the police commission, or the Domestic Violence Task Force, or, you know, registering to vote, or maybe taking some leadership on a political level, or, you know, there's many ways to get involved, and so we want to encourage that, and we also want to encourage other ideas. These are just ideas that we've had, but I know that this community is extremely creative, and that they will come up with even more ideas, and so then we want to encourage them to take leadership. Who's going to take charge of this great idea? And so the ideas that we have people set up to take responsibility. We have these guys that teach self-defense that are going to be there to sign women up for their court. And then, you know, the political parties there to do voter registration and explain some of the activities that are happening. It's an election year. It's a great time to get involved. And, you know, so for a lot of people in the community, it takes something big to get you to do things like vote or register to vote. And, you know, I know the gay marriage was a big one that inspired a lot of people to register to vote and get politically active. I think that this might also be one of those causes that gives people to step forward and take some leadership.
Wow. Boy, I knew this would fly by. There's so much to talk about here. The only other thing I'll say about, you know, especially Charlie Scott is, you know, that one sounds really fishy. I mean, I think we all watch ID and whatever, Investigative Discovery, and, you know, that's kind of a classic ploy to, you know, get somebody out in a, you know, deserted area. So I know that one, and I understand that guy is still in Haiku, right? Still lives there, hasn't left the island.
Yeah, no,
hasn't been arrested.
The other guy did leave. No.
Okay.
And, you know, so like I was saying about statistics, so the number one, and I'm hoping that this, you know, that's not the case, but the number one cause of death for pregnant women is domestic homicide, by far. It is the number one killer of pregnant women. That is the biggest killer of pregnant women.
Wow.
So, and when you think about cases like the Lacey Peterson in California, very big, very public case, similar circumstances. You know, she's very pregnant and she goes disappeared. And, you know, there's I really truly hope that she's found somewhere safe and all as well. But as time goes by, we all get very concerned, you know, that that maybe it won't end up well. But I will say that there's so much concern in our community for both these women, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I know. By the way, we're talking to Stacey Moniz. She's the executive director of Women Helping Women on Maui. Her website is womenhelpingwomenmaui.com. It's womenhelpingwomenmaui.com. And they have a hotline, and I'm just going to throw that out there if that's okay, because folks may be listening, and whether or not you're on Maui, and I'm knowing that you guys obviously focus on that, but you guys could direct people, since this is an internet show, obviously you could direct people to other areas, but 808-579-9581. Again, 808-579-9581 is her hotline. Now, I'm on the website, and I notice that you guys are on Maui, but it looks like also Lanai as well, right? Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, go ahead. Lanai is a very, very small island. There are only 3,000 people there. So we don't have a shelter there, but we do all the services that we can. And if women need shelter, then we will bring them to Maui or maybe some other island, depending on where they want to go. And like you said, since this is an internet show, there's a national domestic violence hotline that and so you can look that up as well. They have resources in language. They have you know, it's 24 hours a day, and they do nationwide, even I think in territories. So I'm trying to get that number up too. It is 1-800-799-7233. So 1-800-799-SAFE is their number.
Oh, good. I like that. Now, again, you guys, there is so much on this website that you guys do. We don't. We're just going to kind of surf the tops of the wave, so to speak. Here, pardon the the Maui, the Hawaii pun there, but
you're missing Maui. You're missing Hawaii.
Yeah. Can you tell that? Can you tell it?
Yes.
So programs, you have community education, shelter program, transitions, children programs. Mm-hmm. Talk about those real briefly, if you could.
Sure. We try to be. We've been on Maui since 1977, so we're a very old organization. We've tried to expand our programs to meet the needs of victims of domestic violence. So we started with the hotline, 24 hours a day. You call our hotline, someone will answer that phone live and be there to listen and to. Because a lot of times we get calls from friends and neighbors, my friend, my sister, somebody, I'm worried about them. Mm-hmm. And so we do that. And then we have a 24-hour shelter. So it's we have a house. It's a big, beautiful house. And we currently have 12 women and 10 children living in the shelter. These are women who are fleeing from domestic violence, and they bring really just their bare essentials and their children. And so we provide everything there, from food to clothes to whatever kinds of whatever they need to live there. And they could stay up to 90 days. And during those 90 days, we try to help them figure out what their next steps are. We realize in all of our programs that most of the women that we work with will probably go back to their abusive partners, not because they like the abuse, but because it's part of that dynamic. Leaving, you know, relationships are challenging, even if there's not abuse. You know, if you think about a relationship where maybe you went back and tried again, it's sort of the same thing with domestic violence, except we're always like, oh, why would she go back if he's going to beat her up? But it is part of the process, and for some women it takes an average of 9 times to really leave, and I know in my case it took more than 9. I was scared. I was in love. It was such a complex issue. I had a lot invested with this man, and we had 2 children together. So, but our shelter is there, and our goal is to provide safety and to safety plan, so when they go back to their abusive relationship, they can have a better sense of being mindful. One of the things that I think is kind of shocking for the average person to hear, but we talk about when you're fighting, be aware of what the circumstances are. Don't be in the kitchen where there are sharp objects and sharp corners, move into the living room or into the bedroom where there's softer edges. Don't be in the garage. You know, certain things, like, it sounds kind of morbid, but unless someone hears that, they would never think about that. But sure, it's not very safe in the kitchen. It's not very safe in the... So I could be safer if I were in the living room, probably. So those are the kinds of things that we talk about in terms of safety planning. I hope it never happens again, but just in case, think about these things if you can. And then I will tell you that you'd be surprised how many times they'll say, oh, my God, I remembered that. And then I thought, oh, it's happening again. So, you know, it helps to identify what domestic violence is for. Because when you're in it, it's hard to see it. It really is hard. So we have a shelter. We have our children's program working with the children of these families. And then we have a restraining order program where we help prepare temporary restraining orders for family court. And we'll go to court with the petitioners and support them through the entire process. And then our transitions program started in 1999 because we realized that we needed help for when women actually do decide to leave, they need a lot of support. And so that the kinds of support that we can offer are things like security deposits, rental assistance. We have a transitional housing program. We also have educational assistance. So we've helped many, many women go back to college or get like a vocational training, certified nurses, aides. Now we're trying to get women trained in wastewater management and photovoltaic installation, these non-traditional careers where they can take a course at the college and be certified and then get a high-paying job and support their family.
Right.
So that's one aspect of that. So we also have an immigrant program where we work with immigrant victims of domestic violence who are some of the most vulnerable victims in our community, so we help them. We do a lot of community organizing around immigrant and immigration issues, homelessness issues, poverty issues. You know, we got to look at the whole picture. And we have an office on Lanai, like you said earlier, and also an office in West Maui, which is Lahaina side. It's kind of far out there. So the community said they really wanted an office out there and helped us secure the funding and the location. And so we have that office. And then our last thing is our Revive Resale Boutique. We opened a little retail boutique where we sell donated clothing and household appliances and furniture. We also do job training there because a lot of women coming out of domestic violence are a little bit anxious about going back to work in the public. So we have a process there that...
Very cool.
We do a lot. You'd think we're a huge agency. We only got 26 employees that work our butts off, I'll tell you.
Wow. And, I mean, just really on the front lines of, you know, two things that I thought of as you were talking, and we're almost out of time. But, again, talking to Stacey Moni, she's the Executive Director of Women Helping Women. Again, her website, womenhelpingwomenmaui.com. womenhelpingwomenmaui.com. And two things that I thought of as you were talking. One, when you're talking about that nine times it takes for a woman or more to go, you know, before she breaks that cycle, I think about, because my wife and I do marriage coaching. We've done it for like 20 years, and so I've worked with a lot of dudes who, you know, and most guys are pretty manipulative. And and I can just understand that dynamic where, you know, something blew up and she fled to you guys and it kind of woke him up. And usually the guy, my experience is the cycle is the guy kind of straightens up, right? You know, hey, I'll never do that again. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Becomes soft. She's in love with all the, you know, he starts manipulating and it's just this cycle. And I see that with regard to men in other areas of marriage problems, from infidelity to, you know, on and on. But it seems like the abuse thing, it's the same deal. This is women helping women, but can you refer a guy who comes to you and says, I need help?
We work with men all the time here.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
And that was one of the points that I forgot to make, but we definitely help men who are victims of domestic violence as well. They're not as common, and their needs are different, and depending on what their situation is, everything is a case-by-case situation, but we definitely will work with what their needs are, whether it's safe housing, restraining orders, safety planning, all of the same things.
Okay. And so, and then again, how about the guys who are actually the abusers who come to you and say, I want help? Or is there usually a restraining order so there's no interaction between you and
safe? No, and we have guys that call us as well, and they we have an assist, like, it's not our organization, but we partner with an organization here called Parents and Children Together. They actually are on Oahu as well. They're statewide. And they do the batterers intervention program. So we would refer them to them. We are also doing a lot of organizing of men who do not support domestic violence and other forms of violence against women. So they want to organize, because it's really hard. If you're a man who doesn't support domestic violence, but you work with a bunch of men, and then, you know, they all talk about things, and so say one of your coworkers or your cousin, even your brother, is saying how, oh, his wife is this and that, and he had to punch her out or whatever. How do you confront violence against women among your peers? It's really, really hard for men, because it's not really socially acceptable to do that. So we're trying to organize, because really if we want to end men's violence against women, men are the one that will need to take the lead in that. So we're trying to help support the organizing of men who really do want to end domestic violence and sexual violence and other forms of violence against women. So we really support that, and that's a big new that you watch for that, because I think that that's a growing group or a growing grassroots movement, is men working with other men who do not support domestic violence.
Wow. And see, because and again, to, you know, obviously that's typically anger issues are, you know, are deeply rooted stuff that need counseling, and you know, and people can get help. I've seen men change.
Sure.
I know.
Sure.
I know. Just like with adultery and drug addiction, and I'm sure the abuse thing. I think the tendency, probably in the statistics, support that men once, you know, won't change. You know, once an adulterer, always an adulterer. Once an abuser, always an abuser. But I've seen, I guess, like you, I've seen enough, you know, miracles in my life that I know it's possible. But it takes a lot of work, and I'm so glad to hear that there are men taking the lead in that, and that's the need, is to get those guys into some kind of counseling where they can get to the root of why they're so angry. I know I had a therapist friend once tell me, and I've been to so much counseling in my life that now I can call them therapist friends and not therapists, but I remember a guy told me, you know, he said that guys often don't know how to identify their feelings, and their default emotion is anger.
Yes,
and so, you know,
men are encouraged to do that. That society encourages that. Don't cry. Yeah. Don't be a baby. Don't be a girl. You know, so society definitely encourages men's anger. That's their acceptable emotion.
Yeah, there you go.
No.
Yeah. It's like...
Because otherwise, you know, you might seem like a girl. And that would be bad. apparently.
Yeah, in search of macho man, you know, I think the macho man myth of, you know, everybody wanting to be that guy. And well, Stacey Moniz, again, this has been amazing. For those listening who are on Maui, the event again is this Monday night. Where is it?
It's at the Kihei Community Center.
Okay.
Right by the swimming pool on Lipoa.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Right by the DMV. I know it well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Stacey, thank you
so
much. I want to get in touch with you. I want to, if that's okay with you, because I want to see some other things I'd like to do with you here in Hawaii. That's amazing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Cool.
And I'm so grateful. You know, I we just put this together last week, and it's all coming together. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share it with your listeners and with the both of you as well. So thank you very much for that.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You too.
And to everyone
Aloha.
Out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.